We'll get right into finishing today. Today, that's our goal, is to finish the book of Hebrews. Some might celebrate. If you're a guest with us, it's taken us almost a year to get all the way through the book of Hebrews. And I remember when I first was called to the ministry, even called to this church to pastor. I was called to the ministry 13 years before being a senior pastor. And someone asked the question, how do you know you can be a senior pastor if you've never been a good senior pastor before? I'm like, well, the word good is always relative, right? And so I was like, well, no one's ever become a senior pastor until they became a senior pastor. It's not something you can go to college or you can actually get any kind of experience other than just doing it. But back there where Julian's sitting is where I came in one Sunday just to worship. Someone invited me. We were at home on vacation. And that Sunday I came in, God said, you're going to be the pastor of this church. And I was like, I felt sick to my stomach. The pastor was, he was tall, handsome, young, articulate, and he was a very good preacher. He preached out of Psalms, and I sat back there, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone that I was going to be the pastor. So, okay, maybe when I retire or something, okay, God, whatever, I'll do whatever, but just stop, please. Have you ever had God speak to you like that on something, that he just burned you for something? And that Sunday, I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's when I'm 60, or maybe sometime in the future. And that Sunday, after he finished preaching, if you've been here a while, you know how that worked out. He put his microphone back on after the invitation, and he proceeded to tell church members how bad they were to him and that he was done with it. And he said, as of today, if you want to see me, I'm going to the vestibule. You can say goodbye to me. And he put the microphone back up here and walked right past me, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't know if y'all know Amy. Used to be the piano player years ago. I was trying to find a way out because God's speaking to me during the whole service. I'm sick to my stomach. I'm like, God, just please stop. I'm listening to the service, and I want you to know, I tried to make a, that's how come I know where all the exits are in this building. I was trying to get out of here quick, because everybody's jamming up this one, and jamming up that one, and the only one I saw was that one I could get to, so I'm going up the crowd, and Amy beats the path. She says, Clint Smith, what are you doing here this Sunday? You knew he was going to quit, didn't you, and you're here for a job. My stomach fell. I'm like, I got to get out of here. So I want to encourage you, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, now it wasn't an audible Clint like that. It was so strong quietly that you couldn't miss it. So I want to encourage you today, if you missed Catalyst this morning, you missed a great Catalyst. Cliff did a wonderful job today, gave us some other perspectives on understanding who God is, the series, The Names of God. Got us started this morning. We'll begin again next week on the sermon series, The Name of God, or The Names of God, to match Catalyst. But I'm going to tell you, if you miss Catalyst, you do miss a great thing. You miss community, you miss Bible study, you miss some interactions, and you have opportunities to get together with people of like kind, and you get to learn. Somebody's always willing to teach you, and we have some great Bible teachers in our Catalyst sessions. Well, today, if you notice, today's the fourth Sunday. Typically, it's the Children's Church Sunday. Children are usually out with in Children's Church, but Mr. Chris was sick today, so Ms. Kristen filled in. Thank you, and the worship team, thank you so much. Y'all did a great job. Everybody's taking everybody's places, so the children came in with us. They will, however, be out next Sunday. Next Sunday is the fifth Sunday, and they're typically with us. They'll actually be in Children's Church next Sunday. So, kids, you do it, get your makeup day. You get it next week. Next Sunday is our fifth Sunday as well, Palm Sunday. There's a lot going on. And we'll be joined together with our Next Generation Church that we help plant down in Graniteville. They'll be joining with us for the fifth Sunday, and we'll have some interaction together. And there'll be a baptism service next Sunday. So if you've been waiting for baptism and you've given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, listen, I want to be baptized biblically by immersion. I want to do it the way it's in the Bible, listen, we will baptize you next Sunday. You don't have to be a member of our church. It doesn't make you join the church. It just basically lets you be obedient to Christ. That's all it does. It shows everyone, hey, look at me on the inside. I've changed. Christ has, as it were, baptized my heart. He's made me new. And it's a picture of death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it is. You identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you tell everybody, hold me to the Christian standard because I've accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the final chapter, Hebrews chapter 13. If you didn't bring a Bible today, there's one provided for you. And if you'd like the notes today, listen, I want to encourage you. These are really awesome notes, not because I wrote them, it's because it's the Word of God over and over again. Raise your hand if you want a bulletin. The notes are on the bulletin, and the ushers will bring you one. Just slide your hand up, and they'll come by, and they'll secretly come right behind you and sneak up on you and give you one of those bulletins. Also today, if you're a guest with us, we're glad you're here. Please tear off that Connect card, leave it in your seat, or put it in the offering boxes on your way out, and we'll make contact with you if there's something you want us to contact you about. Members alike, same thing. Prayer requests are most important. We get those, and we count it a privilege to pray for those prayer requests. I got about 25 on my desk, I think, right now. Just spread on my desk, among other things. But I get to pick them up when I'm having a downtime or moment, and just to pray. So today's sermon, pray, be patient, do the will of God. How many of you guys, you would like to say, especially if you heard the Catalyst message this morning, you'd like to do the will of God in your life? Who would like to, anybody, would you like, even if you don't know God very well, you say, I just like would like to do the will of God. Well, the Bible expects you to do the will of God. God has made Scripture so, if you will, simple enough to understand that a child can understand the Scriptures. It's complex, of course. We'll never understand all of God. When we even read John 3:16, we know it by memory works, but listen, we don't fully grasp how strong of a verse that is, how deep it is, the theology behind even John 3:16. Why would God love me so much that he would send himself to die on my place when I'm a wretched sinner? He's a perfect Savior. Why would he do that? The answer is we'll never, ever truly, fully understand it. It's by faith that we trust him, that we actually trust it. It's his grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. That's what it is. He gives us the grace, he gives us the faith to believe, and he gives us himself to actually believe in. So today, listen, we have a wonderful idea of thinking about praying. Praying is simply talking with God, not talking to God. We talk to our dogs, we tell our dogs to sit, right? We tell them to fetch, but we talk with one another and we talk with God. Because every time that you speak with God, God is waiting to speak with you. Now, God has already spoken. If you look throughout history, you say, well, I've been praying about A, B, C, and D. I just want to know the will of God. Am I supposed to go to this university? Am I supposed to marry this person? Am I supposed to have this job, take this promotion? Pastor, where is that in the Bible? Well, your name might not be in the Bible. I used to do the same way. I'd search and try to, Lord, I don't know your will in this. What should I do? What does he always say when you're struggling to find God's will? Here's what he says to you. He'll speak through the volumes in the library. It's called the Bible, 66 books. He wants you to keep your nose in his word because he's already written you a letter. He's already told you how much he loves you. And he wants you to continue to do the work that he last called you to do. If you don't know what to do next, keep doing what you've been called to now. That's when you'll find out what to do next. It might be somebody, an encounter that walks up. Someone walks up to you and says, hey, you do such a good job with that. Would you consider, you never know how God's going to work. His ways, the Bible says, are so much higher than our ways. But God wants you to continue doing what you're doing today. You say, yeah, but I hate what I'm doing, or I'm struggling with what I'm doing. Well, struggle and quit hating, right? Because remember, you used to pray for that job that you got now. You pray for that spouse that you have, that boyfriend, girlfriend. You prayed for them. Lord, if you just give me, and you fill in the blank. And when you finally got it, guess what you want to do? Get rid of it and get something new. It's like a phone. I want to get the next iPhone, right? Y'all remember the Sunday when iPhone 7s or 10s were out? And I told the kids, I pulled out my new phone. It was a, I don't know what it was. But I just said, I got the new iPhone 14. And a lot of teenagers, and some of you adults did too. 14s wasn't even around back then. They hadn't even come out with 14. They were, I think the top was 12. And everybody's like, you got a 14? How'd you get a 14? 12 just came out. I just did that just to see greed and envy roll over the congregation. And but we're that way, are we not? My phone's old. What do you need a phone for? What do you need a phone for? To make phone calls, right? No, mine's my computer. Well, that's what we've created them to be, but you really just need a phone to make a phone call or to answer a call. That's all. The rest of it's just gravy. Would you agree? So let's look today at the will of God. Be impatient. Pray, be patient, do the will of God. And by the way, you can only do the will of God by the grace of God. Just remember that. Keep doing today what God's called you to do. You can only do it through the grace of God. Scripture says this. We're going to pick up in verse 18. Pray for us. This is the writer of Hebrews. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live, how, church? Honorably, or with honor. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, how long? Forever and ever, amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Took us a year to get through the few words, but he wrote it. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Let's go back to verse 18, if you would, just for a moment, and look at some things. Many people say, well, who wrote this? And a lot of people say, well, we don't know. Scholars don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews and really don't know who it was written to specifically, just to the Hebrews. A lot of people speculate it was the Apostle Paul who wrote it because there's a link there to Timothy. There's a link to Italy. But we really don't know, and it doesn't really matter. The Bible's very clear that there are some things we should understand from the passage of Scripture. Just that last benediction, that's the closing of the book that the writer's trying to write. He's wrapping things up. He said, I wrote to you briefly. That's why if you go through and look at the sermon series we did, Jesus is Better, what was the whole series about from Hebrews 1 all the way to Hebrews 13? I gave you the answer before I asked the question. Jesus is better. That's what the whole book of Hebrews is all about. That's what the whole Bible is really about. But the writer of Hebrews was very specific that Jesus is better. Go to your notes, if you would, just for a second and see this. When we succeed in a task, we understand. Now, sometimes we get tasks we don't understand. Have you ever been told to do something at work or on a sports field or an instrument and you don't fully understand? What are you saying? And somebody says, just do it. And you walk out and you go, what am I supposed to do? Or you walk out with a wrench, or you walk out with a special code, anything like that that you don't fully understand, but you're responsible for doing it now. In the military, oftentimes, stitches, for example, was anybody in the military in the medical? Anybody do that? On the ship, we didn't have, on a destroyer, there's nobody medical. The med guy was, well, he was questionable, to say the best, or the least. So the rule was stitches, if it was light stitches, it's see one, do one. So if you've seen somebody sewn up, guess what you have to do if there's an emergency on the ship? If it's light, sew them up. If it's not, put a tourniquet on it the best you can and hope the best for them as they wait for the helicopter to fly them off to a bigger ship, right? So see one, do one. So I loved when my kids got stitches. I always wanted to put stitches in, but they would never let me. But I oftentimes took their stitches out. I've taken many stitches out of my kids and other people's kids just because I think it's cool. I don't know. It's fun. So if you have stitches, don't go back to the doctor. I'll save you that deductible. I will take your stitches out if they're surface stitches. If they're deep, that's on you, all right? Just kidding. I know we have someone who works deeply with stitches over here. I want you to see this. When we succeed in a task, we understand. That's important. We feel a proper sense of accomplishment. When we do that task and it's like, you told me how to do it, and I have the ability to do it, and I do it, I feel like I succeeded today. I come home from work, or I come home from the game, or I come home from the practice, or whatever it might be, and I feel like I've accomplished something. That's a proper feeling that God gives, allows us to have. In the Christian life, our greater aim is to one day hear the words of our Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. That future hope shapes how we live today. Would you agree? And that story comes from, we don't have like this one at the judgment seat of Christ. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't have that command in Scripture. We just have the example there I gave you in Matthew 25. You want to read that on your own. We don't have time to read it today. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 34, where Jesus tells a story of three different servants and how they use what he's gifted them with. We just sang the song about the tribes around the throne. Have you thought about that? I told you some weeks ago, my place was reserved around the throne years ago. Now, God knew it before the foundation of the earth. But listen, my place was reserved when I gave my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not just be singing about that throne and the tribes. I will be in the tribes singing at that throne one day in the future. Isn't that good news? That's a big hallelujah for myself and for yourself if you're a Christian. My place is reserved. Why is my place reserved? I'll tell you why. It's because God had a plan, and the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He also died for yours. Jesus himself quoted, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He was talking about himself, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, a.k.a. in the Lamb's Book of Life, a.k.a. standing around the throne of God singing forever. So Jesus paid it all. He gets credit first and foremost, and really all the credit. But there was a pastor who preached the message. There were people along the way who preached messages to me, and I guess I heard here or there. There were people who invested in my life. But there was that one pastor who called me. He called me and challenged me in Virginia when I was in the military. He called me to repent of my sins. You must repent and turn from your sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I owe him a great debt, if you will, because he challenged me at the place where I needed to be challenged. Again, debt payer was the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was an individual who was willing to stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and call me to a place that, listen, you need to repent. He challenged me. How comfortable do you think he felt? He didn't know me personally. He didn't even know my name. He called me to repent. He fulfilled the will of God that Sunday morning right there as on Battlefield Boulevard, Emmanuel Baptist Church. I knew no one there. I was by myself. Wendy didn't even go with me. I just walked down front and said, "Preacher, I want what you're talking about." And he said, "I'm talking about Jesus." And I'm like, "Oh, I've heard that my whole life." And I went to turn around, and that's where the challenge came in. He could have let me go back to my seat. He could have just turned me away and said, "Okay, there goes another one, hard-headed man." But he didn't. He challenged me to that point of, would you not want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? And I did. I really did. I didn't know what I was missing because I grew up in a church. I knew all the right answers, but I didn't know Christ personally. Here's my challenge to you if you don't hear anything else out of this message. Jesus has paid it all. Amen? There's nothing else to do to earn salvation. There's nothing you can do. Jesus has paid it all. But I want to challenge you, the will of God is that you share this good news with those who you know or whom you encounter. There's no way, listen, there's no way God is just going to scream from heaven today, right? Don't you wish you just write it in the clouds, some phenomenon? That's what we want, the easy way out. But he's called you and he's called me to be ambassadors of reconciliation, bringing people that are lost to the Lord Jesus Christ, to himself. He even calls, Paul tells us that we're called in 2 Corinthians, ambassadors. We've been sent out. We understand our ambassadors of America. They're constantly trying to cover, smother, right, make things right. They speak on our behalf. They speak on your behalf as Americans today. They speak around all around the world, and they say, well, we believe this. And when he says we believe that, they're speaking for everyone in all 50 states. When we speak for all the kingdom of heaven and the king. Listen, there is a God who can save you. There is a God who created you. There is a God who loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, he said, shall be saved. That's in his word. So what do? Our call is, listen, to fulfill the will of God. We understand truly, we always say this, if we took a poll, why aren't you doing the will of God? Well, I don't know enough, Pastor. And we take a step back. Do you know enough? How many of you have ever memorized John 3:16? Raise your hand. Keep them up. I want to see. You know enough. How many of us don't, and of course I don't want to call you out if you're not a Christian today. How many of us have a Christian story? We've given our heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the gathering of the saints today. You know enough. You know your story. You know your story. You know his story. Listen, do you know enough? All right, let's switch the story before we get into the rest of it. How about other wills of God? The will of God is like a kaleidoscope. How many of you guys, we don't look at them often. How many of you guys have looked into a kaleidoscope? And you see the multifaceted colors. They're all over. It's beautiful to look at, turn. As children, we got to do that. And we found it very, very entertaining for a short while. That's how it is with the will of God. If you really focus into his word, like the writer of Hebrews is telling us to do, you'll say, wow, it's amazing. Oh, this is the will of God? Oh, this is the will of God? And this is the will of God? And what happens is you'll find out as you mature and being sanctified day by day that the will of God is not just one single thing. The will of God is his will being done. How are we to treat one another in the church? Love each other as how? Lover says, how do we treat our enemies? That's a good one. We pray for them and love them, right? Does it not say that? We're to love God, love others as we love ourselves. Is this a heavy lift for us sometimes? Yes or no? How about giving to the Lord's work? Woo! It got quiet really quick, right? We got these. I'm going to show you the new software that we have has these metrics on who's giving and how they're giving. It doesn't say names, doesn't say anything. It just says who's giving to the church. I was shocked, almost sick to my stomach this week, seeing who gives and who doesn't give. Not who, but the amount of people that give and the amount of people that don't. The amount of people that don't is this big, and the amount of people that do is this big. I was blown away. I'm like, how does God use that few people to keep Town Creek Baptist Church going? If you feel convicted or mad that I said that, that's on you. That was for you, as a matter of fact. That's free. There's an offering envelope right in the front. I filled them all up yesterday when I came in because I knew what I was going to preach. You need to be given to the Lord's work. That is the will of God. You don't get it for free. You can't even get a bologna sandwich for free unless you steal it. And Malachi says, will a man rob God? How do we rob God? Through tithes and offerings. What he told the Old Testament. You think we're robbing him in the New Testament? It's very quiet in God's house today. Why? Because this stuff is very practical. If we can't trust God with a dollar, how can we trust him for eternity standing around the throne? This song means nothing. These words mean nothing. If we can't trust him with our cash, how can we trust him with our salvation? The answer is we can't and we won't. So many people are sitting in church today. They're mad and upset about what the preacher might or might not say. They don't like the color of the carpet. They don't like the way the pew sits. They don't like certain things. Yet they'll turn from God and they'll use his name in vain. Cliff taught us this morning about the names of God. He started us out. That's why God says, listen, don't you take my name in vain. And how do we do it? And when do we do it? Unfortunately, it's regularly and almost all the time. So the future of hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. I said in your notes that future shapes how we live today. And I changed it in my notes to say, if you want to change it the way I changed it, that future should shape how we live today. Because the truth is, we're not living like we believe the word of God. We as a church are not living to fulfill the will of God. We'll give and take just a little bit, but that's enough. We'll come just far enough, but that's enough, because you don't understand my situation. My situation is, and you fill in the blank. Can I tell you this morning, I don't know your situation. I am not God, but does God know your situation? Is God in charge of all things? Does God bless you? Does God give you life? Does God give you resources? So does God understand? He's God. When will you trust him? When will you trust him, church? Listen, that's a powerful question this morning. The writer of Hebrews, he comes and he even asks of himself, if this is the Apostle Paul or Apollos or whomever might be writing, he says this, the writer of Hebrews humbly asks for what? Prayer, that he might have personal integrity. He said his conscience, personal integrity, moral strength, and he asked for safe travels because he wanted to come see these folks again. He reminded us that even faithful believers need grace. We need accountability and the support of the church. We need each other, church. I know that's foreign in our culture today. In the 21st century, it's me, myself, and I. Listen, I look out for mine and mine, right? Me and mine, and that's enough. That's not what you're called to do. The will of God is to bear one another's burdens, to love each other as Christ loved the church. You're to come together. That's why we're seeing the church fall apart on the edges. It's like the church is beginning to rust, and just a little bit falls off here and there. Look around. Somebody says, well, Pastor didn't even call me. I've missed church the last 3 weeks. No one's called me. Do you think I can call everyone and recognize? I know where some people sit, but some of you started moving your seats and you're messing me up. I usually have an amen corner in certain places, right? Keep moving. That's a good way to get to know the church as well. But the writer's saying, listen, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for us. Because I want personal integrity as I travel. I want moral strength. I want to keep on keeping on, because every time that you speak for the Lord, the devil pushes back. Did you know that? Every time that you speak for the Lord, the devil pushes right back. He wants to cause you to fail. And when you fail, guess what you do? You think it's personal, that everybody sees it, that it's, I'm embarrassed because I am embarrassed. I did this. Listen, we started the Christian school Town Creek's made it through the winds and the rains of time since I've been here, and really long before I got here, since 1859. People keep telling us the church is going to fail. People keep telling me the school's going to fail. Our outreach is going to fail. We're going to Thailand. We're having to reroute the entire flights from Qatar. We were cutting through the Middle East. You think that's a good idea these days? And flying back through Abu Dhabi? Yeah, no, that's not a good idea. I'll just go ahead and tell you. So we've had to reroute and go around and go to South Korea, go the long way around. Has God called us to what we're doing today? Yeah, he's called a lot of people to go overseas, and we have to be good stewards of our lives, number one, but also as God gives us an open doors to witness. And why do we go the other way? Well, it could be that the will of God wants us to do something a little bit different on the way. The appointment might not be in Qatar. The appointment might be in South Korea with one person. It might be in Thailand, yes. It might be with those Japanese missionaries, yes. But it could be for one flight attendant there or somebody that's on the plane or somebody that's on a business trip talking about the need for Christ. We never, ever know. But we listen, can I tell you, we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, what are you going to do if the church ever fails? And I'll say, God failed. Can God fail, church? He cannot fail. And so, therefore, his church will never fail. We might close the doors of this building, but I can tell you, we'll go right down the street to another church. The church of God never will fail. Amen? And as long as we're doing the will of God, the church of God continues to grow. Let's go into your notes again and see this. Verse 18, like the early church, we must walk together, how? In prayer, pursuing holiness and faithfulness in Christ. And by his strength we must live day by day so that in the end we may finish well. Let's go look at 1 John, if you would, because so many times 1 John is a powerful, powerful book to read. And I wasn't going to read it this morning, but I'd like to read it because it's just on my head and my heart to read. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. When you're there, say amen. You got your mobile device, your Bibles. Love to hear the pages turn. You there? Let's read together. 1 John, 1 John 1. 1 John 1. Beginning of verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declared to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be what? Full, complete, maxed out. He wants maximum joy. Verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. And in him is what? No darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if, and by the way, I circled all the ifs in these sentences. There's a lot of ifs. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not true in us. Listen, is God a liar? No. Are you a sinner? Do you need forgiveness of your sins? Even as a Christian, Jesus Christ died for all sins, but he tells us everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Why did he die? He died so he would die and take away your sins. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul says it, John says it, Peter says it. You keep going, you go, wait a minute, could these guys just be making it up? What happens if this whole thing is fake and you live by it? What's going to happen? When you live by the grace of God, let's just say it's not real. What kind of life would you have lived? A good life, helping others, and in the name of this man named Jesus. But y'all, listen, I believe with all my heart this book is real. I believe God is real. Salvation is real. And listen, we're going to give an account one day. We all have known people who have passed away, and our hearts are broken. But we also know people that have passed away loving the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can't wait to see them again. We don't face death as people with no hope, Paul says. We face death. We face obstacles in life of those with a no-so hope, not a hope-so hope. I hope that happens. I'm hoping that's going to happen. We know it's going to happen because our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must pursue holiness and faithfulness in Christ day by day. We're called to that. That's the will of God. Verse 20 there, we trust in the God of peace who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. Do you trust him? Do you trust him completely? It's easy to say yes here in this church, but I'm telling you, the stats prove out that we don't trust him. We don't pray like we should. Again, I mentioned we don't give like we should. We don't help each other like we should. And we say, well, that's somebody else. Maybe when I get a better job, or maybe when God gives me this, or maybe when I get out of school, or whatever it might be, we always have a tomorrow, we'll get it fixed. Isn't that the way it is? And some of you are senior adults today, and you're still pushing and kicking the can down the road because you're waiting for the better day. The better day is right here, right now. When you serve him with gladness, guess what he's going to do? He's going to mess your whole life up, turn you and throw you into the trash heap and say, there you go for serving me. Is that our God that we serve? No, he's a God of love. Every time you obey him, it's just like you understand if you have children, sometimes you have children who love to obey and you have children who love to disobey, right? Now, all of them are disobedient, but anybody have a child who's they just seem to be obedient every time you ask them to do something or had a child like that? Raise your hand if you did. God bless you. Who did you have? Not me. I know it wasn't me. This is my mother, by the way. Anybody got that crazy kid that God just gave you, like God wound him up super tight in the womb, and when he came out or she came out, like Tasmanian devil? Anybody have that child? Raise your hand. Look around. God bless you. God bless you. All right. How about the ambassador? Anybody have a middle child who's like come out a little bit of both? It's just like this kid can get along with everybody. Like they can be crazy, or they can be just mild and mannered like that. Anybody got those children? Anybody got them? They're getting fewer and fewer hands are coming up. All right. I want you to see. Listen, when God does what God does, he loves us. He's called one of the names we learned in Catalyst, our Father this morning. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, or holy be, what? Your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is it his will to just destroy his people, his sheep? No, he loves us. He wants to feed his sheep. He grooms his sheep. He takes his sheep, if you go to Psalm 23, by still waters. He takes us to green pastures. God is the good shepherd. When you submit your life to do his will, listen, God will, here's a big word we use because we use that out of context, he'll bless you. We've often in the South, so many women especially, bless her heart. You don't mean it. It's a curse word. We've turned the word blessed into a curse because bless her heart. It's look at her. She fell from grace. Bless her heart. Right? It's a terrible way of using the word bless or blessed. That's something that only God can give, a blessing from God. Listen, God blesses his children, and every time that you're obedient to God, he blesses you more. If you give God a small spoonful, a baby spoonful of prayer, guess what he's going to give you back? Communication to talk with you. I want to talk with you too. I'm going to answer your prayers. Sometimes he says no, sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he just says wait, or my grace is sufficient. Those are the prayer answers we don't like. We always want it to the affirmative, do we not? Garth Brooks sang a song, I Thank God for Unanswered Prayer. Can I tell you something? There's no such thing. Every prayer that you pray as a Christian is answered. Y'all look at me like, well, I'm still waiting for one. Okay, you're in the wait holding pattern. Are you praying in belief that God's going to do what you ask him to do? Because we pray how? According to his will. If you pray for crazy things, guess what's going to happen? If you ain't got it yet, I can probably tell you the answer is probably no. But if you're praying, and now I'm talking about hard prayers because we have this kind of secret list we've got to update. There's been some answers to it. We have a list inside the church. If you don't come to these prayer meetings or gatherings, you don't get it because you won't pray anyway, so that's why we don't share it with you. It's called the Impossible Prayer List. How many of you guys have ever seen it? The Impossible Prayer List. Raise your hand. Look how many few hands there are. That's the people who get it. That's the people who's going to get to pray because if you don't show up, we don't want you to pray. Why waste the ink and the paper? Because you're not going to say anything to God about it anyway. We're asking God to do crazy things that only God can do. That's how we pray, is it not? That's how our hearts should be focused toward the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer here tells us very clearly, listen, verse 20, Jesus is our great shepherd. He secured us through his covenant blood and now equips us with everything we need to do his will. Everything we need to do his will. What are you lacking to do the will of God, church? Say it with me. What are you lacking to do the will of God? The answer is, say it louder. What are you lacking from God to do his will? Nothing. It should be a concert in this place. Nothing. We have a God who is sufficient. You know that word? He's fully capable. He gives you everything. Listen, as it were, you have the ability to run. If there's a fire, you have a firehouse full of tools, whether you need a pickaxe or you need a spray hose, you have it at the kingdom's disposal. God has it waiting for you. If he's called you to go rake leaves, guess what he's got? He's got rakes, he's got blowers, he's got hand gloves, whatever the task is, he's got it for you more than you need. Listen, abundantly, he's got it for you. Whatever the task in life is for you today, listen, God's storehouse has it. All you have to do is run to him and say, I need, Lord, I need, you've called me to this. Help me, Lord, in my need. And he's there saying, listen, here's all the tools. Take them and I'll help you. Now, you're not doing this by yourself. I'm going with you. That's the God that we serve. But you don't know him because you're not experiencing him. You're not doing what the writer of Hebrews says. You're not even interested or even thinking of the will of God. Here's how we think. I want to know the will of God for my life. That's what we ask. Just what is God's will for my life? I don't care about my neighbor. I don't care about necessarily the rest of my family. What's my will? Because it goes back to the me, myself, and I. We're very much self-centered people. We're self-centered sinners, are we not? God is calling us today to be God-centered Christians. Live like you love him. Live like he's called you. Live like he saved you. And then what's going to happen to your life? Misery, fallout, or blessings abundantly from God? Even in the hard times when Paul was being stoned, did he bless the Lord? Did the Lord Jesus Christ bless the name of the Father? Did Stephen, when he's being stoned to death, what did he do? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Which place would you rather have been in? The rock-throwing place? Or the getting ready to be transported to heaven by receiving hits on the head and rocks, being rocked? Which place would you rather have? That's where we're at today. Many of us say, I'll just throw the rocks. Or you're like Saul, you're standing over holding the coats. Hey, I'll hold the coats. I won't throw the rocks, but I'll hold the coats. I just don't want to get too close to the situation because if I get into the receiving area, I just can't bear it and it stresses me out. More people are concerned about how they feel today than how God feels. If you're stressed out, listen, God's not the God of stressing out. Now, he'll bring things in your life. Every time there's a problem in your life, he'll bring a solution. Because that's the God. He's trying to grow you. How's he growing you? In patience, in wisdom. He constantly wants you to do more and more for the kingdom of God. More is possible with Christ. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, and you are his sheep if you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. You must be actively knowing and doing the will of God. If you don't know what to do, you won't do. You can't. You might trip over the will of God, but you won't know what you tripped over. It'll be a bump in the night. You must know the will of God. How can you know the will of God? How is it possible for a human to know the will of God? Is it possible? The answer is 100% yes. It is possible to know the will of God. Watch this. Just try it. Popcorn me the will of God. Somebody give me the will of God from this section. What's the will of God? Pick one. Discipleship. Sanctification. Anybody? Loving God. That's the will of God. Anyone? Being like-minded like Christ. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Listen, he knows you need clothes. He even says that. Jesus says, I know you need clothes. I know you need food. Everybody needs that. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this stuff will be added where? Unto you. That's Matthew 6, if you want to look that up. That's a powerful, powerful chapter from our Lord speaking to us about us. That's verse 21 here. I want you to see. As we labor with integrity and godly patience, our work becomes an offering that is pleasing in God's sight. Through Christ, we are not only called, but strengthened, made complete for every good work, and have direct access to the Father that endures how long? Forever. Because guess where your good work comes from? The same place the grace comes from. The same place that the faith comes from for you to be saved. It comes from God. And guess where the good works come from? God. He has made a master list just with your name on it. You have responsibilities. And week by week, the longer that you don't even look at the list, you don't get it done. Did anybody work yesterday in yard? Anybody get yard work done for this Easter and get it all cleaned up? Anybody sleep all day? I slept all day. And I came out, guess what? I came out this morning, it was all over my yard. Leaves like crazy. And I was like, those neighbors, right? And what did they do when they came out this morning? That pastor at Town Creek, sorry, he didn't come out at all Saturday. All their yards look really nice, and there's this one. I like the color brown. I think it's a beautiful color. And leaves are just a blessing from God, so they bring nutrients to the Lord's ground. So just leave them there, and they'll go away eventually, right? They'll blow to the neighbors. The wind blows where it wills. I got work to do. I didn't even look outside yourself, so tired. I just slept. Got up, ate. We went and did something together. Went on a little date. Came back. It's like, I'll do it later. Slept. And Wendy's like, are you going to get the yard? I'm like, it's the Sabbath. I went Old Testament really quick, right? Because I was just, it's the Sabbath. Don't work on Saturday. Y'all listen, are we not like that in life if we're not careful? What's the will of God for my life? Wrong question. What's the will of God? The will of God is happening around us, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Not just the person next door, but the person sitting beside you, the person around you. To love, to show the kindness of God. If you need a checklist, I've said this before. If you happen to be one of those people that says, I would do the will of God if I just had it kind of smunched up in a list. Well, there's a list. If you go to Romans chapter 12, there's a list. All of Romans 12 is just a list. If you'll follow that list in Romans 12, and you're a Christian, listen, you will actually live the will of God. Just try it. Look at it for yourself. And, of course, God will branch you out. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, we've read that before. That's where our grace comes in from God, faith comes in from God, and the works assigned to you and to me come in from God. I wrote this little crazy thing as I was just studying my notes last night. Do the deeds, plant the seeds, stay out of the weeds, and God meets your needs. I was just in a rhyming mode, I guess. Do the deeds that he's assigned for you to do. Plant the seeds that he's called you to plant. Stay out of the weeds because that can get us in trouble or like poison ivy, get us all beat up, and God meets your needs. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about? Verse 20 and 21, God's call and our faithful obedience positions us for the God of peace to accomplish in what he desires, shaping our lives for his purposes. As we follow our great shepherd, Jesus, all that we do according to his will bring glory to him now and forever. Oftentimes, we're looking for the glory to be brought to us. If somebody would just let me be on the stage, if I could just be up front. I had a pastor friend of mine, he goes, I don't know if I shared this with you, not before, but he's no longer in town. He said, I asked him if we could pray together. He said, yeah, pray for me because speaking of himself, I'm almost caught up with pride because I'm such a good preacher. He said, I articulate well. My points are on point. He says, I'm just a good preacher. And he says, oftentimes I have to kind of just check myself before I get in the pulpit because I don't want pride to sneak in. I was like, brother, pride has done snuck in and you've eaten all of it, right? He's full of himself. I said, do you know where you're going to get yourself? One, God's going to humble you. How dare you to think you can get in this pulpit and think it's all about you? This has got to be about the word of God that God's trying to speak to his church so the church can be equipped to go out and do the good work. That pastor was fired from his church, and he couldn't understand why. And he was fired from the next church that he went to. I don't know what church he's at now. We've lost contact, but I couldn't imagine that a pastor would say that. I mean, I know it's crazy that for anybody to brag, braggadocious. We all play sports or did something competitively. We wanted to be the best. We thought we were the best. But to say that from an aspect of being serious, and even said it in front of my wife, to understand, I'm like, Wendy, this man's headed for sorrows. You are too, my brothers and my sisters, if we don't check it and get out of this self-centered living that we're doing and not caring about the will of God. We care more about what Fox News says about the world than we do what God says about the world. The Bible says God loves the world. All those lost people that are doing all the different things, the crimes, anybody have crime in your neighborhood? Anybody? Crime in the world? Listen, What happens if you actually go share the gospel with those criminals and they come to Christ? Instead of breaking glass, they'll be breaking bread with you in church under the Lord's Supper. Instead of stealing from you, they'll be serving you in Christ's name. Church, it's high time that we fulfill the will of God. We get up out of these pews, we go out those doors, and we say, God, as of today, I will do your will if you'll help me. Will he help you, church? It's a dangerous thing to ask him because he will help you, because he wants you to fulfill his will. Not so you'll receive the glory, so that he will receive the glory. His name is holy. His name is holy, church, and we're acting like it's just, oh, God, today's a good day. Oh, God, what am I going to do with my life? We use his name oftentimes in vain. As he concluded the epistle, look at your notes. The writer urged believers to patiently receive his message as an encouragement to strengthen their faith. He expressed a desire for fellowship, possibly visiting them soon, and called the church to greet their spiritual leaders and all the saints on his behalf, emphasizing unity and love within the body of Christ. He said, listen, Timothy has just gotten released. The good news is Timothy probably was in prison for what? Preaching the gospel. How many guys are willing to go to jail for preaching the gospel? Not many people in our sanctuary. And we happen to be what's deemed a conservative church, a Bible church. No, I'll back off. If some of us are afraid of losing our jobs or moving out of the neighborhood, we're just afraid of speaking up because it's the times that we live in. Well, what were the times that Paul lived in? They lit Christians on fire and used them as lamps in the gardens. They cut their heads off. They beat them with stripes. They stoned them to death. Are you willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ? The question is, for all of our missionaries, and that's everyone who goes overseas and stays here, are you willing to die for Christ? The bottom line, can you draw that bottom line and say, I will die for Christ, doing the will of God? If you're not willing to die for him, then brothers and sisters, I will tell you, you're not willing to live for him. If you're not willing to say, listen, I'll put the line in the sand, I'll do whatever it takes for the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't do whatever it takes to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll do what's comfortable, what's convenient. Maybe that's what the church is doing or something, but we won't go anymore. We'll just stay home. And that's the call here is, listen, Timothy just got out of prison, more than likely. There's a good chance this person's in prison because that's why he wants to come back and see the church. For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's read this last passage, if you would. 1 Thessalonians, before we get to the last thought. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Roll over there with me, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We don't oftentimes get to speak or to read the extra, go along with the scripture. And when you're there, say amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll wait on you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. It's a beautiful picture of our loving Heavenly Father as we talked about his names this morning in Catalyst. You there? Say amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, scripture says this, beginning chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, what should we do? Comfort each other and edify one another just as you're doing now. Have you ever thought about dying for Christ? What's the word we call when you die for the sake of Christ? A martyr. Have you ever thought about being a martyr? Have you ever thought about, are you willing to be a martyr for Christ? What if God calls you to die for his name? Are you willing? Are you going to try to run as fast as you can? Will you deny him? When they come to arrest Jesus, what did his disciples do? They scattered like a bunch of roaches when the lights come on. They ran from him. These are men who followed him for 3 years and said, I'll go wherever you say to go. Peter denied him. Judas denied him. No one stood with Jesus. And I'm afraid in the 21st century church, we sing about him. We pray to something. But when it comes time to standing or doing the will of God, we scatter the same way. We run. And church, I want to challenge you. Look at the last note here. Through today's scripture reading, we are reminded that the church is a global faith family. Because he said, listen, the church from Italy greets you. He's writing to a church somewhere. The church from Italy greets you. This local church was encouraged that believers from Italy sent them greetings. Today, here's the receive the we should receive the same greeting that precious blessing that he gave. Grace be with you all. And what grace is that, church, today? That's God's grace. Is it resting upon you today? Grace is powerful. Grace is eternal because it's part of the covenant. Grace, listen, was revealed on the cross, and if received, transforms the believer. How are you transformed? Can I give you another passage to go to that I've already given you today? Romans 12. Paul beseeches us, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you get your mind renewed? Through his word, through communication with the Lord. That's how we do it today. Church, the challenge is on us. Will you pray? Will you be patient, waiting upon the Lord when he says, go, you go? Will you do his will? You say, I don't fully know all of his will, even after today's church service. It's incumbent upon you to get your Bible out and say, God, would you show me your will? And if you're so lazy, you can actually go to Google and say, what is the will of God? And ask it. What is the biblical will of God? And Google, listen, the searches will even give you multiple listings of what the will of God is. To love your neighbor, to love God, to honor those, to turn away from evil. Don't return evil for evil. It's a kaleidoscope of what to do and how to live. And when you do it, guess what? He blesses you because you're being obedient to him. You're fulfilling what he says to do. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for today. With no strings attached, Lord, may we come to you and say, Lord, I don't fully understand. Today was a hard message. I don't fully understand what my place is in this. But Lord, if we ask that question, I know you will. So Lord, I'm asking you to open our eyes and our hearts that we might understand, not just to hear some preacher rattle on with some scripture, but Lord, we'd understand what is the will of God and how do we fulfill it. Help us to get out of self-centered living into Christ-centered living so that we may honor you and bring glory to your name. Lord, if you don't do it, we can't do it by ourselves. Our flesh is weak. We desperately need you. In Jesus' name, we pray for his sake. Church, here's the day. We're going to stand up today. We're going to sing a song. And if you want to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, I'll show you what that preacher showed me. I'll tell you how. If you need to pray, the altar is open for your prayers today. If you want to pray. And if you say, listen, I'm a Christian, but I want to be baptized by believer's baptism next Sunday, you can come let me know. We'll put your name on the list. We'll draw the warm water. So it's up to you to say whatever decision you need to make, if it's a spiritual decision between you and the Lord, I challenge you, do it today. Do his will. And that way, you want to put it off. Don't kick the can until tomorrow. Because tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, keep going on down the road. My challenge is to you, do business with God today if he's spoken with you today. Let's sing together.